Welcome to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church in Pittsboro, North Carolina. I'm Lee Callicutt, pastor for preaching and teaching at Grace Hill. Grace Hill Church exists to glorify God by being a community on mission transformed by the gospel. For more information about Grace Hill, visit us at gracehillchatham.com. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Not asking for a show of hands, but how many of you perhaps have some unfinished projects sitting around your house? I thought so. You know, we have a to-do list, but sometimes if we're honest, it feels like a never-done list. And we won't even mention the honey-do list. And you fix one thing and there's more to pop up. You're organizing the garage. Then it seems as if now I got to go to the hallway closet that needs attention. And I'll confess, I've got a running list as well of projects around the home that always stare me in the face, afraid that they're never going to get finished. I think about the bathroom light that still needs to be mudded and painted, or the drywall behind it, the shutters that need to be measured, the pressure washer that needs to be fixed, the new outlet that I need to install. It feels like there's so many half-done projects staring at me. I wonder if I'm ever going to finish them at all, or should I even bother to finish them at all? And maybe that's how some of you feel about when you look at your yard or your house, or maybe even deeper than that. You look just sort of at your life and you think, I don't know if you've ever felt this way, but you think, I feel sort of unfinished, like a work in progress that I'm just never complete. I've never arrived. I'm never as mature. I should be more mature than I am spiritually. I thought I'd be further along. And I look at myself, staring back at myself, and I think how unfinished I am. It's almost like a project that God started and maybe he's just not going to finish it. And we look at ourselves and our struggles and our sins and our failures, and if we're honest with ourselves, we can feel very unfinished at times. But here's the good news from our main verse this morning, is Philippians 1:6 tells us that God doesn't leave you unfinished. God finishes what he starts. That's what Paul says, being confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Now, while some of our homes may have half-finished projects and our to-do list may never get done, God has never left a person unfinished. God has promised that his work will not be left incomplete. He finishes what he starts. And all of this is a picture of what Paul is talking about in verse 6. That even though you may feel unfinished, that lives feel like a half-done project, that our discipline wavers, we struggle with the same sin, we're imperfect, our faith is faltering, we sometimes feel like we're just stumbling forward. The good news from this verse is God has not and will not and never will abandon his work or his people. He has begun a good work in you, and he promises to bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. And that's what he says at the very beginning of verse 6, that very first phrase. Paul writes, and I am sure of this. I'm sure. He begins with much boldness here. He said, I'm sure this. You can take it to the bank. This is not wishful thinking. This is not fingers crossed. This is not I think so, I hope so. His confidence is unwavering. I am sure of this. Now, we live in a world full of uncertainty. Where, how can I serve? What job am I going to do? Our health changes, emotions rise, finances are up and down. Circumstances can seem like they get, in our life, can get turned upside down overnight. But Paul says, in a world that feels so topsy-turvy sometimes, I'm confident of this. I'm sure of this.
Bank your hope on this.
So now the question is, what is this? What does he say? I'm so sure of this. What's the this? Well, if you look at verse 6 continuing, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at that last day. What Paul is sure of is what God starts, he's going to finish. Now notice in that very first word after, and I'm sure of this, that he who began. So Paul's confidence that the work will be completed is not in the Philippians, it's not in their strength, it's not in their abilities, not in their performance. Paul's confidence and assurance does not rest with the Philippians. He doesn't base it on their strength or their circumstances. His confidence is rooted in the unchanging character of God. It is he who began the good work. And see, the Christian life, your Christian life, does not begin with your effort. It does not begin with your intellect, your ingenuity. It does not begin with anything that you have to offer God. It's everything that he offers us in his Son. And so, see, the Christian life begins. He who began. He, who's the he? God began the work. It is divine grace, supernatural grace, salvation, and the work that he does in our life is not something that we initiate or that we can manufacture or that we can conjure up. It's God who began the work. And that's why Paul is so sure. Because it doesn't rest in human will or human might or human sweat or human tears. It rests in the sovereign grace of a God who can actually do the work and finish it. He says, well, I'm sure of this. He who began, and I keep looking at the verse, he who began, what did he begin? A good work in you. That's what God began. A good work. Not a so-so work. Not an eh work. A good work is what God has done. Everything God is doing in your life, everything is a good work. And that is what he's begun. But you think of it in just a particular strain. The good work that God has started. What has he already done for you in Christ? He's already revealed the sufficiency of his Son, revealed in his cross work, his resurrection. He has already revealed to you and opened your eyes to the goodness and grace of his gospel, his willingness and his ability to save. The sinner begins, think about what God has done. The sinner begins to only understand the depth of their problem when they understand that God is the only solution to their problem, which is sin. And God's opened your eyes to see the glory of Christ crucified and risen, the sufficiency of his work, the glory of his work, his ability and power to save. God has done that. He's opened your eyes to see that Christ is sufficient. He's not only done that, there's justification. That's a good work that God has done in your life. That you are justified through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that you're declared innocent. All the charges for your sin have been dropped and paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're, as you stand in the courtroom of God, the judge who deserves to punish you for your sin says that you are innocent because Christ stood in your place and Jesus took your punishment. And he paid your penalty. He's adopted you into the family as his child. He's clothed you in the righteousness of his Son. That's the good work that God has been doing, revealing, opening your eyes, justifying you, adopting you. Then there's regeneration. That when you were dead in your sins and your trespasses, not
caring, not loving, not seeking for God. What does God do in you? He comes and He breathes life into a heart that is against Him and hates Him. He takes out a hard heart and replaces it with a soft heart that loves Him, enjoys Him, worships Him, adores Him. And only God can begin it. And only God can do that. And only He can finish that work in you. See, that's a good work. That you've been set free from sins and you are now a slave to God. But there's not only justification and regeneration. There's sanctification in your life. The ongoing work of God in you. He started a good work. He's going to complete the good work. But if He's starting it and complete it, there's something that's got to go on in the middle. And that's sanctification. God doesn't just save you and then kick you out and say, figure it out. He's sanctifying you. He's working and willing in your life, the ongoing work to, yes, open your eyes and then now to say with your eyes open, the life I now live is by faith in the Son of God. The white life I once lived in the flesh is now by faith in the ongoing good work of the Spirit of God in your life. That this love of Christ and the hope of heaven strengthens us, compels us to endure and to persevere. All of that is a good work that He began. So it says, Paul's confident, I'm sure of this, that He, divine initiative, began, started it, not your own doing, a good work, salvation, justification, regeneration, sanctification. But where did He start it? A good work where? The verse says, in you. See, Christianity is not simply about external practices. It's not about outward ritual. Christianity is more than reciting the proper creed and saying the right prayers. Christianity is more than polishing behavior or modifying it. The good work that God has done is actually not outside of you. It is in you. That He does change your very nature. He fills your life with meaning, gives you peace in suffering, joys in trials, hope in death. Changes the heart. And that's the root of obedience. That's the root of holiness. That's the source of consolation. That's the promise of eternal glory. And yes, that's all a divine work. He who began a good work in you. In you He began it. Something you could never do yourself. By nature, you are dead in sin. And it's God who gives life. Salvation is His great gift. For by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. He has done it in you. And so all of God's good work has started, and it started in you, done for you, because God loves you. But God doesn't have, listen, this is what we're about to learn. God doesn't have unfinished projects. He doesn't do that work. He doesn't begin it in you just to leave you undone. He finishes what He starts. So in verse 6, continue. A good work in you. And what will He do? Will, another promise, another surety, another bank your hopes on it. What is God going to do? He will bring it, that it goes back to the good work. And that good work goes back to the salvation. He will bring it to completion. God doesn't do like some of us did our homework assignments in high school and leave them halfway done. He doesn't do half done work. What He starts, He finishes. He will bring it to completion. If we're honest with ourselves,
It better be He that brings it to completion, because it's up to me and my strength and my work. It will fail. It won't be brought to completion. Your heart, my heart is weak. Temptations surround us. Sin clings close. The opposition prowls. The world wants to pull us back in. And we are so easily discouraged. We're so willing when we fall to not want to rise. And if God Himself were not carrying on the work, like if God Himself wasn't going to carry it and bring it to completion, then yes, we would remain unfinished. But that's not the promise of verse 6. It says He will bring it. Literally, that word bring it means He's going to carry it Himself. So don't even think of the word bring. We think about bring, we think like bringing the groceries, you know, kind of dragging. And He's like, no, I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to carry you. Like, none of the weight's on you. He's going to carry you. That's what that means. And what's He going to carry all the way to the end? The it, which is the work of salvation. So God's going to do the work. He's going to carry it. He's going to bear the weight. Listen, God does not delegate the work in His people. He does it Himself. And this is the promise. God will finish it. And then when's He going to finish, though? That last phrase, at the day of Jesus Christ. Paul points to the finish line, the day of Christ's return. That's when the good work will be completed. So until this moment, till then, we are works in progress that God's got to carry to the finish line. So for believers, we can see that the work is going to be finished at the day of Jesus Christ, which means for us that the trace of every sin will be gone, every tear will be wiped, faith will turn to sight, holiness will be perfected, and on that day you will be presented blameless before the presence of God's glory with great joy. And this will end in glorification. The good work that He starts, justification, sanctification, it will one day end with glorification, where we will see Him as He is, we will become like Him, and we will be around His throne for endless days, worshiping the Lamb who was slain and who bought us and purchased us. He will do that at the last day. He'll start the good work, He's going to finish it. But for the unbeliever, that last day is still coming. The question is not, will that day come, that day of judgment come, when He completes the work and says, enter into my presence, all those that trust in Christ. But what that means for you is that there's a day of God's judgment coming. And this is why this verse is also an urgent invitation for you to call upon Christ today, that perhaps God hasn't started that work. You need to call upon Him. Call upon Him to save you. Let Him begin that work in you. Because on that last day, there'll be nowhere to flee. There'll be nowhere to hide. But today, you can hide yourself by faith in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And you can trust in Him. And not only trust in Him, but trust in the promise that what God is starting right now by you placing your faith in Him, what He's starting, He's going to carry you all the way through at the day of Jesus Christ. So He can begin a good work in you, and He will bring it to completion. This is precisely what God is going to do with the work He has started in His people. Brother and sister, be reminded that there is a finish line that God has taken us to, and He's going to take us all the way. You may feel very unfinished. You may feel like an undone project. You're unfinished. And the reason you feel that way is because you are. You might feel like you're stumbling forward. It's because you are. You might feel like your faith is weak and you're faltering. You think to yourself, I'm going to have to crawl to the finish line. But what we learn is you don't even have to crawl. God's going to pick you up and take you there. And so the reason you feel unfinished is because you are. And that's not to discourage us, it's to encourage us once again to cling to the grace and promises of God. Say, He, you know what, I am unfinished. I do struggle. I do fall forward. But what God has started in me, He's going to finish it. And you may think to yourself, will I ever make it to the last day? And you put it on yourself. I'll only cross the finish because I ran the race so well. No, you're going to cross the finish line at the day of Jesus Christ because He's going to carry you to it. We need grace. We need grace. You need grace. I need grace. And God gives it sufficiently. His grace is sufficient. His strength is enough. And He will carry you all the way home. And you don't have to do it yourself. And that's good news for those that have trusted in Christ. Because your salvation is not secured by how tightly you hold on to God. Your salvation is secured by how tightly He holds on to you. You think about that image of God carrying you. Think if I pick up my little girl and I carry her, it doesn't matter how much she squeezes my neck, I'm the one carrying her. It doesn't matter if she just flops and flails, I'm the one that's carrying her. You know, whenever we get out of the car in a parking lot, and I have Eden in particular, and I have to hold her hand, and we walk across the parking lot to keep her from the dangers, toils, and snares that may be in a parking lot. You know, even though she may grab my hand really tight, or I have to hold her by the wrist because she doesn't want to grab on at all, what keeps her safe and to the place that we're going is not her grip of my hand, it's my grip of hers. And that is the same here, is that what keeps us safe in this life is not how tightly we hold on to Him, it's how tightly He holds on to us. That He holds us. And He who began a good work will never let you go. See, your confidence is not self-confidence. Your confidence is in God, His word, and His promises. You may feel unfinished. You may take two steps forward, one step back. But take heart, God is still working. Your failures don't erase His faithfulness. He's holding on to His people. So, why can we be so confident in that? How can you and I be so confident? So here's application. How can we be so confident in this life that God's going to take me all the way? Why can I have such hope? Well, first, it's because God began it. It's the character of God. I mean, think about this. If God has made you, even though you are a great sinner, you are a great sinner, and yet God has made you an object of His mercy, grace, and love. May you not be fully assured that He will continue that mercy, grace, and love? If He's pardoned you when you were an enemy, will He leave you now that you're His friend? He loved you when you didn't love Him. When your image was marred and distorted, will He cease to love you now that He's restoring the image that was marred? He justified you when you were ungodly. Will He cast you off after going to such lengths to save you? Does God sow to only uproot? Does He build to tear down? Does He make promises to break them? Does He give life to revoke it? Never. In your life, you had nothing to offer God. And yet, His affections move towards you. Will His love not resound even more loudly now that His grace has made you alive within? He gave you the gift of grace when you could not earn it. He gave you the gift of grace when you will not seek it. Will He withhold it from you now that you seek Him? He found you when you were not searching. Will He hide Himself from you now that you long for Him?
We forget that God counted the full cost of what it meant to make you His own. He began a good work, and that work started with the cost of His very own Son. His work, His blood, His merits, His righteousness. Your sin paid in full. And He says that Christ on the cross to His Father says, "It is finished, it is paid." And He's applied that blood to your account. Will He now say it's insufficient for you? Will He say that you owe Him now? And then you think, well, God doesn't know what I was going to do or what I have done after. He knew the ongoing cost of grace that it would take to expend in your life. The very grace that He is giving you in the gospel now binds His own faithfulness and honor to complete it. To what purpose has God called you? To what purpose has He washed you? To what purpose has He clothed you in the righteousness of Christ? If it is not to supply all that you need that is necessary to take you safely to glory. If God has already given you Christ, will He not freely give you everything else that you need along the way? Whenever you question, will God complete the work in me? You think, God knew the cost it was to start the work. And that was the blood of His very own Son. And He pours out that blood for His people. Does He pour out that blood for His people to abandon them later? No way. Does God renege on His promises? No. He who calls you is faithful. And He will surely do it. From Adam until now, there's millions of saints that have been brought safely home. And Revelation tells us there'll be a great multitude from every tribe, every tongue, every nation standing before the throne that no man can count. God has finished the work in them, and He will finish the work in you too. God doesn't begin what He cannot finish. God does not build without first knowing what it takes to finish. What shall we say to these things then? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against any of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? Can any of that separate you? Can any of that stop the work that God is completing in your life? And He says, "For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Is there a danger of ever being letting go, of God ever letting you go? No, we stand on the promises of a God who cannot lie. Hear His voice from the prophet Isaiah. "Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through deep waters, I will be with you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." All this guaranteed by the everlasting covenant of His Son. Oftentimes in life, when we think about God completing the work, I think sometimes we have a misconception that when God began the work, there's just a straight line to glory. Now, He says He's going to complete the work, but He never promises it's going to be a straight line. And so I want to use this now to just encourage the weary, encourage those that might be a little down.
He does not claim that the work will never face interruptions or difficulties. He never promised a straight line to glory. Clouds, storms, seasons, struggle will come. But your assurance in the midst of that is that he's going to complete what he started. Regardless of what comes. That's what he says in Romans 8 that we just read. Death or life, height or death. It doesn't matter what God's mysterious providences bring your way. It doesn't matter if it's like financial things or weak faith or troubled marriage. God says the good work that he started, he's going to complete. And have you ever thought some of the sufferings and thorns and thistles in this life is for him to actually complete that work in you? For you to say, my only hope is Christ. My only strength is Christ. All I have is Christ. I mean, then year after year, if you've been in Christ for a while, has he not continued his work with unchanging perseverance and undiminished love? I mean, has God not proven himself already? I mean, how much has God, to use this verbiage, spent on us? How much more patience, how much more wisdom, how much more grace will he yet employ to bring us into perfection at the day of Christ? Think of the patience, the power, the love, the faithfulness, the grace that God has already poured out to bring you safe this far. Think of how he stooped low, lending his arm, his eye, his heart, his strength to conform you to the image of his Son. You think he's just going to stop now? And we may sigh, and we may hem-haw when we look at ourselves and look at the parts in the picture that remain rough and incomplete, and we do sigh and think how unfinished I am. But we have to remember that the divine artist who's finishing his work in us has not completely finished the canvas yet. It's at the day of Christ he's going to complete it. Do not let the unfinished parts of your life drown out the rejoicing that should come from the work that God has already done. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. His covenant and promises cannot be broken. It is the unshakable truth of Scripture. Those that he has justified, he will glorify. There is no such thing as a justified person being abandoned mid-journey, regardless of what comes. God takes you as a husband should take his bride. A husband takes his bride knowing the blemishes and the weaknesses, but once joined to him, he never leaves and he never forsakes. God took you knowing all the weaknesses and all the blemishes. And he will never leave and he will never forsake you. Stumbling, falling, messy, sinning as we are, does not mean you fell away from grace. I mean, you think about David, Abraham, Peter. God never let go of them. They fell, yes, but they did not fall out of his hand. And the truth for you today is this: even if you fall, even if you feel weak, even if you feel like you've blown it, it was never up to your performance anyway. Grace doesn't work like that. God works and continues to work in his children. Because you are a work in progress doesn't mean you have... That's not failure. That's a chance to actually cling to the promises. Every misstep, every moment of weakness is a chance to be reminded of God's grace, that he's finishing a work in you. And then it can remind us that we are not what we wish to be. But by God's grace, I am not what I was. Because he's completing a work in us. And because God began that work, he refuses to let you go. Even with the stumbles and even with the falls and even with the sin. He knew who you were before conversion. Wicked, guilty, defiled. He knows you what you will be after conversion. Weak, erring, and frail. And yet his love is still fixed on you eternally. And what he has begun, he will bring to completion. Are you weary? Let this be a balm for your soul. The one who stumbles and falls and struggles in the midst of life. For the mom, feeling like she's failing her children. To the dad who feels inadequate to leave. To the brother and sister who feels like they just be more mature spiritually at this point. God isn't going to say to you, you didn't do good enough and I'm quitting my work in you. The whole point is that we aren't, but he always is. And he's finishing the work. And that is our hope. See the safety of the flock. Hear the shepherd say, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish ever. No one will snatch them out of my hand. The safety of the flock does not rest in the sheep, but on the shepherd. This hope, this confident trust is not wishful thinking. It is believing the God who began a good work in our hearts will carry it on to completion and that we will never be plucked out of his hand. Those he saves are his delight. Christ will hold me fast, precious in his holy sight. He will hold me fast. He will not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last. Bought by him at such a cost, he will hold me fast. You know, sometimes we wish that this would work differently, if we're being honest. We wish the road was smoother. We wish the work that he was doing wasn't sometimes painful. But we're reminded that in life, as he began and as he finishes, all that in between, the road won't always be smooth. There's not a straight line to glory. Sometimes we pray the lessons would come easier and God would just snap his fingers and make us instantly who we're supposed to be. But he's doing a work in us, a deep, refining, purifying work. And that is his grace. And it happens through ups and downs. It happens through our lives. It happens through relationships that challenge us. It happens through relationships we wish never were. It happens through trials that stretch us, disappointments that humble us, and afflictions that make us suffer. But none of it is wasted. Because God is using that to bring your faith into sight. And as painful and as slow as the refining can feel, sometimes you wonder, is he even doing anything at all? But one day, we will see it clearly at the day of Christ. We will stand before him and the work will be complete. The unfinished, imperfect, stumbling messes that we are will be transformed. And God's work will be finished. He's not abandoned you. His grace won't let you go. His grace won't leave you half finished. His grace will see you through until the work is done. And so we say now in response, all glory belongs to that God who is able to keep us and to present us blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. And I rest in the certainty, and I say I can be sure of this, that the one who began a good work in me will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church. Please feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without written permission.